God is so faithful and so good. I love what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm not sharing COVID moments anymore. Although I do love them. What are we going to do if church isn't allowed to ever meet again?
Is that like the Kodak moment?
Yeah, that's right, Kodak moment. You're an old man if you can remember that. What are we going to do? As the Church of Jesus Christ, what are we going to do if we're not allowed to meet in large meetings anymore? Period.
Serve the Lord rather than man.
Well, that's a funny statement, but meet in the home. Yeah, there's ways. There are ways, but what I'm saying to you is consider it. Consider that church may never meet again. Name me a time in the history of mankind when they have shut down the church and the church has complied in one day. It hasn't ever happened again. I don't think so, but... Hey? You think it's just the disease, don't you? I think there's something way bigger at play here. Way bigger. But anyway, all I'm doing is asking you to think. How we can, as a people, serve the people around us. How can we transmit the love of Jesus Christ to our brothers and sisters who are already in the faith, but to those that don't yet know who he is? We're going to actually be called on in the next while to share the love of Jesus Christ with a world that doesn't have hope. Think about that for a minute. We've been pretty comfortable here in our Christianity. It's almost like a Christian club. We get to go once a week for an hour and sing a little and feel good, and then that's it. But it's way more than that. If we look through the Word, it's full of life, but life as we move along through our day-to-day existence. Jesus was always on the move when he had the most profound meetings. He was meeting in people's houses, everybody else's houses. He didn't have a house of his own to meet in. He didn't have a building to call his own. And that's the way the church started. Is that the way the church will complete its assignment? We need to consider it. I'm not saying this prophetically. I'm just looking with my eyes and saying there is something bigger happening here than what the news is sharing with us. There's something way bigger happening. Anyway, you hear from God for yourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Jen. That was absolutely wonderful. We so appreciate you. We need to appreciate her because she too will be gone soon. She got a real scholarship. You know? She got the Luke scholarship. Hallelujah. She gets to spend the rest of her life with him. And that's awesome. Well, I wanted to talk about foundations. You know, been paying attention. We've been talking about foundations as we've moved along here. The last time I spoke, it was about faith, or what faith isn't. Today, I want to talk about baptism. Now, don't turn off just because I'm talking about baptism. I've done lots of work. I'll keep you entertained. But What if you're called to baptize your neighbors in the next while? Is it just for priests or pastors or leaders in the church to do? I don't think so. I think every believer should be able to baptize. Does that scare the willies out of you? Think about it. Pay attention. Because you may be called to do it. There may be a chance in this next little while that you're walking down by White Rock Pier and people come to you and say, are you a Christian? How can we be baptized? And you'll be able to say, come with me down to the water's edge. Yes. And we'll take care of that right now. Wow, what's that? Well, oh, ye of little faith. We've done January 1st. We've done January 30th. We had ice on the Little Salmon River for one of our baptisms, and I was in it. And I hate cold water. I'm telling you. One of the young hi guys. You ready for baptism today? That we're going to dunk them. So pay attention. This is for you too. I'm glad they're here. I was just about to call off the baptism. So. When the church was started, the very first day, Peter got up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The very first day. And we tried to keep that going for over 2,000 years now. Baptism is important. Repent and be baptized. Repent is turn away from your sins. Turn toward God. Do a 180 from the way you were living. And baptism helps provide strength for that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But it looks, if you pick up the narrative of the New Testament, it looks like the first one that was a baptizer was John, right? John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, if you like to call him that. I think he was a Pentecostal, but I don't think he was a Baptist. He was a baptizer. John the Baptizer would baptize people out in the wilderness. And it looks, if you're just picking it up there and you don't spend a little time kind of looking back through Jewish history and what was going on, you might think that that's where it started. Well, it didn't. That was pretty normal for the people of Israel. As a matter of fact, do you know the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness? You ever heard that? Yeah. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? Lots of Christians quote that as if it's biblical. I challenge you to find it in the Bible, because it isn't there. My mom thought it was. It's in the Mishnah. What on earth is the Mishnah? The Mishnah is the Jewish oral tradition, the stuff they shared with one another. It was what they call codified or written down on scrolls in about 200 AD, you know, so 200 years after Jesus was born, sort of. And they put down all of these wise sayings of the leaders of the faith up till that time. And so there's 3,500 years or thereabouts of wonderful sayings in the Mishnah. And they codified it. They you know, it has, you can refer to it like we do in the Bible, Hebrews 6:2, you know, that kind of stuff. So you go right to the quote. So the Mishnah has the saying, cleanliness is written next to godliness. Now that's interesting for a people that live in the desert, and you know you have to have water to get to the cleanliness thing, because they didn't have Lysol wipes then. They were in the same state we were, you know, they look for them on the shelves and they're gone. Somebody bought them all. So you had to do it with water. Now, you know, you remember Jesus, the story of Jesus, his first miracle that we've recorded was at the wedding of Cana, in Cana at Galilee. There was water in jugs. Well, that water was water for purification, water for washing. And they took that water and Jesus turned it into wine. But it was set apart in jugs that were hewn out of stone, so that they weren't man-made jugs that way. You know, like man didn't make it out of materials that he came up with. They were special jugs. And so there were many reasons that you had to, in the Levitical process of cleanliness, that you would have to be cleaned in order to participate in what the community was going through. Most of the cleanliness rules are washing your hands. Again, a COVID reference there. They were ready. They would always wash from a cup, and three times the water would go over your hands. And so the idea was a real cleansing, but also a ceremonial cleansing. So you would cleanse your hands before the Shabbat dinner. You cleanse your hands for all sorts of things that if you had been involved with anything that was seen as mildly unclean, you would have to wash your hands. And there were other directions that they would take to actually become fully immersed in the water. There's clear directions in the Mishnah that if you were preparing a ablution tank, like a baptismal tank, essentially, that it had to be at least 120 gallons of water in order for, that's a fair-sized fish tank, in order for it to be a proper baptismal tank. We used to have a horse trough, you know, the horses would drink from, and I think it was 80 gallons, so we were not kosher. But we still dunked a whole bunch of people in it. So if, for example, a leper was cleansed, which hardly ever happened until Jesus came, but there was provision for it to happen where the leper was presented himself to the priest. The priest would confirm that this person was clean, like no leprous scars or leprous open wounds or whatever. Then they would have to wash their clothes completely. They would have to shave their head and their beard completely, and they would be baptized or fully immersed into water to cleanse them of all of the stuff that they had been through. So there were, I stopped counting at 45, but more than 45 different reasons that you would have to cleanse yourself with water in the Mishnah, or in the Levitical process. Levitical is the priesthood of Levi, and we see most of their rules in the book of Leviticus. So what John was doing was not unusual for them. People weren't saying, "Ooh, this new thing that's happening out in the wilderness." But there was something on it, what John was doing. There was something about the anointing on the man. When Stefan this morning said he saw something on Audrey, that's just that anointing that attracts. That's that presence of Jesus. And people are able to see it. And there was something on John the Baptizer. And so people would come from miles around to see John and what John was doing. And to be baptized by him, and it became very special. Oh, just speaking of water, do you hear how quiet it is here? Used to have the sound of rushing water over the place, right? We had our urinal that was running all the time fixed this week. So there's no more running water in this place. Little things are important, you know. We were losing about 500 gallons a month, and we get charged for that. So praise the Lord. Okay, so baptism. Now the word baptism, is really a Hebrew word. There was no word for what happens to a person, not just a person, but a dill pickle is baptized in the brine because it's fully immersed, right? A piece of cloth that you want to dye a particular color, you would baptize it in the water, the dye, so that it's fully immersed. And so it's important that we understand that full immersion is very biblical. A little sprinkling is not so much. But I bless those that use that. Because I don't want to find any problem with the people of God in any sense. So God calls us to baptize. Now here's where it's interesting. The story of the children of Israel in Exodus 13. Verse 20 up to 15, verse 1, is a picture of baptism symbolically. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud. That's referring to the cloud of the presence of God, right? It was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? All under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And all were, here it is, baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What on earth is happening there? It's a picture for us, for Jesus Christ, as he leads us. The Lord led Israel to the brink of the Red Sea. You remember the story, right? Out of Exodus, through a little power struggle, Moses and Pharaoh came to a unified decision. Now, I've never understood part of this. They have frogs everywhere. Everywhere. This is one of the plagues that came upon Egypt. There were frogs everywhere. They said they were in their beds and in their breakfast cereal in the morning. And you know, they were everywhere. And Moses says, "Do you want me to take them away?" And Pharaoh says, maybe in a day or two. That's a sick man. Get rid of the frogs. Get them out of here. I don't know anybody that would say, we'll put up with it for a day or two more. Like, it was a plague. It wasn't like one pet frog. They were everywhere. Anyway. Moses and Pharaoh decided that it was best for the people of Israel to leave Egypt. And so they're out in the wilderness. And as they're heading out there, God leads them. Remember, there's this cloud by day that arose from the tabernacle, where the presence of God, and a pillar of fire by night. And so they only went when the cloud moved. So the cloud moved and it took them to a place at the edge of the Red Sea. They're on the beach and there's no place else to go. They're stuck. And so the Lord led Israel to the brink of the Red Sea with no escape. Our New Testament significance to that is God leads the believer directly from faith in Christ. You've indicated that you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you're repenting from your wicked ways. So he takes us directly from faith in Christ to a death to self experience in water baptism. Repent and be baptized. So it's immediate in the best situations. You're taken to a place where else can I go? I have to go through this water. The Lord stirred up Pharaoh to follow Israel and to try to recapture them. Remember, the story is that the Pharaoh got upset and got in his chariots and brought his whole army, and the whole works of them started to race after the people of Israel. And Israel, the people of Israel, could see the cloud of these guys coming toward them. But that was stirred up by the Lord. So our New Testament significance of that is, after conversion, God allows the pressures of the old life, sinful habits, feelings, friends, familiar smells and places, to press the believer into an understanding that they can't do it on their own. What on earth have I gotten myself into? Now I can see that this stuff is wrong, and I'm still tempted in all of this stuff. So the old way is coming to get me back. Pharaoh and his armies are coming. See the picture? The children of Israel were afraid and complained when they saw Pharaoh. They were tempted to give it up already. They'd just gotten their freedom, and they're saying, let us go back. Moses, give us a break. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. Our New Testament significance is, when the old life rises up, the believer is tempted to think that he's not cut out to be a Christian. And sometimes is tempted to go back to the old way of living. Then God's word was that the people of Israel should stand still on the shores of the Red Sea. Stand still. God would destroy the power of the Egyptians. The people of Israel should go forward and not backward. Don't go back to Egypt, he said. Don't go back to the old way. Don't go back. You're tempted, but don't go back. Go forward. And they're saying, huh? Nothing but water here, and we ain't got any ships. How can we go forward? That's what God's about, isn't it? Dominic's looking for a miracle for his friend Tavita. Who's able to do that? God. So God's word is repent or turn around and be baptized. The believer needs to obey God and get into the water. So in the story, God parts the Red Sea to let Israel go through. Then he caused that very same water to engulf all of the old ways and do away with Pharaoh and his armies. All of those things that were coming to get them again are done away with under the water. Right? So when a person is baptized, he goes under the water, symbolizing death, and leaves his old life and the power of the old life behind. See, there's a power in all of this, in understanding the Word of God. If you just, you go down and you're baptized, you understand that you're being obedient and doing the things, but it is so much bigger than that. The Dead Sea, from that point on, served as a barrier between Israel and Egypt. Israel was effectively cut off from Egypt from that day on. Once baptized, the believer is effectively separated from sin and sin's power. What a beautiful picture. I love it. So what's the significance of baptism? This is from Romans 6, verses 1 to 14. We are not to continue in sin. Coming to baptism, you put all of that sin behind you. Understand that when you accept Jesus Christ and you repent of your ways, you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are no longer under the power of the kingdom of darkness that is symbolized by sin. The power of that thing is removed from you, and you are under grace. You're under the power and wonder of God's empowerment. Hello, Norm. So that, like, what's the significance of that? Because you think, what's he talking about? I still sin now and then. Well, the difference is, before you came into God's grace-filled kingdom, you didn't have a choice. You were a sinner. You were a person who was given to sin, and so sin was your second nature. But as a grace-covered believer in Christ, with Jesus living inside you, sin is no longer second nature, but it is still a choice. God's given you the choice that you can actually sin. So you have to make a choice now. Oh, I'm going to sin. I'm going to be bad. And so you don't move at that point from the grace side to the sin side. You are a saved person who's decided to sin. Know that every time you decide to do that, you come into agreement with the enemy, and he's given a little more power in your life, a little more access to your thought processes every time you do something that is a sin. The idea is to avoid those things and stay under that grace bubble. Baptism means, by faith, that the believer is crucified with Christ so that the old man is put to death. In Romans 6:6, it says, our old self is crucified with him. When we are baptized into Jesus, all that Jesus bought on the cross is ours. We become crucified with him. And that's amazing. You know why that's amazing? It's because he became our sin that we might become his righteousness. Now, is that the best trade you've ever heard? Where is that, Steve?
2 Corinthians 5:21.
Don't you love him? He became sin, our sin. He didn't become, he didn't take your sin on. He became your sin.
Amen.
That you might become his righteousness. Think about that for a minute. How righteous is he? Jesus Christ, you became his righteousness. That is your possibility now. That is your future. That is your inheritance. Because he took all of your sin and became it for you. There is no longer a penalty for your sin because Jesus took it. He became it. Amazing. Baptism is burial. We're burying you in the water. Say goodbye to your old selves there, Mike and Alina. We liked you before, but... Baptism is burial. And it says in Romans 6, verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Putting the sinful nature to death frees the believer from the slavery of sin. Now catch that. Putting the sinful nature to death frees the believer from the slavery of sin. Romans 6, verse 6, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You don't have to sin. And I'm not giving you permission, but you have to choose to sin. You don't have to do it. You can actually choose not to. Through death, the believer can be resurrected to serve God. Romans 6, verse 4 and 5, that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life, or in newness of life. Raised. Jesus was raised from the dead. So we put to death that old man in his sinful ways. And up from the grave they arise, new people, risen from the dead. Remember how that was, Norm? You remember when you were baptized? That was pretty wonderful. Yeah. The secret to conquering sin in our lives is in understanding and affirming the principle that baptism signifies. Romans 12, or 6, 12 and 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The secret to conquering sin in our lives is in understanding and affirming the principle that baptism signifies. I am no longer mastered by sin, but I am free to move in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's astounding. We must continually live in the truth of baptism by faith. Though believers are only baptized once for the most part, we've rebaptized some people. The truth of baptism is a way of life that continually gives victory over sin, not just a one-time event. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. What an exchange. What an exchange. The power of sin no longer has control over you. You can be free. Oh, it's so good. So, why get baptized? I'll go through this really quickly. John 14:15 says that you to be obedient to God, showing the fruits of repentance. That's why you get baptized. He says, be baptized. You know, go ahead and be baptized. Be obedient to him. John 14:15, I think, says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do the things that I say. Why get baptized? To identify with Christ. It breaks the believer's independence and humbles his pride, separating him from the world. It helps him make the break, as it would in Romans 6:6. Why get baptized? To be initiated into the life of the body of Christ. Now, that's why we have the body join in the baptism. Why we want to be witnesses to people actually coming out of the grave of the baptizing tank and coming into the newness of life. To help each other not go down that sin road anymore. Brother, you were baptized. You don't have to do that anymore. You're not compelled to go down that sin road anymore. And so as a body of believers, we can help each other not do that. Yes. That's why we meet together. Amen. We can look in each other's eyes and see, brother, your countenance is down today. Have you been traveling down roads that you shouldn't be? You're better than that. Let me tell you what God says to you today. You're a child of the King. Move like it. Act like it. Don't go the way of the world. So, so wonderful. And so that's why we meet. We keep each other in all of that. That's hard to do over the Zoomsters and the Zoom meetings. Calling me to account. Why get baptized? To be a public witness. It lets people know where the believer stands. We're going to go down and be at Crescent Beach today at 7:30. Now, the tide will not be completely in. The tide isn't completely in until around 10:30. It's on its way in, so we'll find a place where we can find a bunch of water and kill them. There's a, they, definitely, well, as long as we let them up, you know, with Norm, I kept him down a little extra long, you know. We saw a movie one time where the bad guys were coming to the house of the mom and the boys, and the bad guys wanted to take their land. And the boys wanted to fight, and the bad guys, you know, they're acting all high and mighty, and the mom just was talking to herself, and you could see that she was praying. And the boys look at her, and the bad guys look at her, and she says, "The Lord says we can bury you out back, and nobody will ever find you." So we're going to bury you two out back. The new Mike and Alina will come back. So come on down at 7:30, the end of Sullivan Street. Andrea sent a map of it. It's very good. She did a great job. If you need how to get there, she'll probably be able to forward that to you. Give her your email address while you're at it. 7:30. I think I said that, but it's okay. That's what sin is, missing the mark. Thank you for that illustration. Can't pay for good friends, you know? Why get baptized? The last point here, that way. to prepare the believer's heart to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that they might go on to serve God. So many times people are baptized and they come up out of the water or the tank speaking in tongues. How did that happen? The newness of life and the Holy Spirit comes on them. And it's a wonderful example. Just powerful stuff. Receive the Holy Spirit. So what are the guidelines? This is what you need to remember if you're baptizing people while you're walking down by White Rock one day. It's by immersion. The word for baptism is baptizo in the Greek. They didn't have a word. They brought it in. And we brought it into English from the Greek. Because there wasn't a word that completely covered it all in English either. It means to dip, to plunge, to immerse. It is a command. It's not optional. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. It is for believers. Mark 16:16. So a believer is baptized. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, there's no point in doing it. It's done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are baptized into Jesus Christ. You can be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because that's still biblical. But the important part is that you are baptized into Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fills you when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. His Spirit is within you, but you're baptized into Him. And that's so wonderful. Safest place in the universe, because all of heaven is attracted to Jesus Christ, and He lives in you. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Anyway. It is the New Testament application of Old Testament circumcision. Circumcision was the seal of the covenant between God and man and represented the cutting off of flesh or putting away the body of sin. That's from Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. The prerequisites for baptism are repentance, faith, and confession of the Lordship of Jesus. So before they go down, we ask them, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sins? You desire to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. We cover it there. They say, yes, yes, yes. Then you say, goodbye to your old man, kablunk. Gone. That's it. And they arise new people. You can baptize people. I like to do it. And I'm available if you have people that need to be baptized. But you can do it too. There's no reason you can't. You are a priest of the Most High God. It says that in Hebrews. It's an amazing thing. Baptism. It's just one of the great things that we get to be involved in. And it does so much. Like, because we can't see the spiritual realm, we sort of negate it. But it says that everything that we see was created from what we don't see. Well, how does that work? It's very true. God said it. The spirit realm is where we will live for eternity. This body will pass away. But you will be a spirit forever. You'll get a new body. He promised that. That's good. I've already ordered mine. It looks really good. has a belt about half the size of this one. Baptism, it's for all of us. And we're going to do it today, which is so exciting. 7:30, Crescent Beach, those two, and maybe more, you know. What's that? Somebody will. I got to talk to Dom yet because I think he wanted to. But, Ron, you want to shut this thing down? Are you up for that today? Okay. I don't ever ask him ahead of time. I kind of put him on the spot, and because he's my friend, I know that he's going to do something wonderful.
Thanks, God. So, I was just thinking, the New Testament's wonderful. I choose baptism instead of circumcision. So, praise God. So, all the things why we get baptized. The thing that stood out to me was identify with Christ. And that's what it's really all about. It's in Jesus. That's where we find our identification. And so for each one of us, where is our Egypt that we're coming out of? Or maybe we're still got a foot in Egypt. But I think for each of us, that's the picture that it's coming out of the old ways, coming out of Egypt. It made me think of a song by Keith Green, I Want to Go Back to Egypt, because that's what the people did as they came to the Promised Land. Everything was fine, then they started complaining. They started thinking, well, it was much better back in Egypt. We had all that stuff. And so God dealt with them. So for each of us, you know, if we've been baptized, wonderful. If you feel that maybe it didn't take hold, we can dunk you again. A lot of people do. I think I was baptized twice. But anyway, so for the people that are listening to, out in TV land, if you haven't been baptized, then talk to somebody. That's a step to take. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness right now, Lord, that you have provided for us. First of all, just a relationship with you, that as we surrender our lives to you, that we can be in you, and in you we can know all the things that you have promised for us, and an eternity of just walking in wholeness. And Father, just we ask that today by your Spirit you speak to each of our hearts. And Father, that you just draw us closer to yourself, that we would understand more, not with a head knowledge, but with our hearts, of what you're saying to each of us, Lord, that we can come into relationship with you. So Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the gift of baptism. That it is something that as each one of us can experience that, and we can say in our hearts, I've had it with Egypt, and I'm moving ahead in all that Christ has for me. So, Father, we just ask by your Spirit that you would just touch your people today. Father, for those that are hurting, those that need a touch of healing, those maybe have questions and looking for answers, Father, we know that we can trust you, that you have the answer for all those things. So, Lord, we just ask that you bless your people today, Lord God. And even today, I know that there is people listening today that have not made a decision for you yet. And I would ask that you would just speak to their hearts. The Word of God says that today is a day of salvation. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Ask you to bless your people. So the Lord says today, go in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.